Make sure it's working. Is it recording?
Yes, it looks like the seconds are going, so I'd say yes.
Okay. No, it looks like it stopped. Maybe I just touched them. I hate that the red button says erase.
You can see the seconds going.
Okay, sorry, okay. So this is June 25th, 2014. It's approximately 2:07 p.m. This is a meeting of the Main Gate Design Review Committee. The design professional is Rick Gonzalez. I'll give a roll call and then we can begin. Jan Cervelli, absent. Jane McCollum?
Here.
Present. Noah Sensabaugh, absent. Rick Gonzalez?
Here.
Present. Bob Smith, absent. Jim Chaffee?
Here.
Present. And Tom Moore?
Here.
Present. We have a quorum. The acting chair is Rick Gonzalez. Just a few opening comments. This has to do with the change in elevation of the Park Avenue project known as NEXT and their changes to their landscaping plan. You were sent a memo from the Planning and Development Services Director, Ernie Duarte. He explained that there was a change without notification, and we sent out a letter. We had our design professional review the case against the main gate ordinance. His recommendation was it still complied. We asked if you wanted to have a meeting. We got replies that members of the design review committee did, so we've set up this meeting. This is in the part of the main gate where the decision on an application is made by the Planning and Development Services Director, but with a recommendation or advice from the design review committee. The design professional who reviewed this case for us is Richard Faiton. He cannot be here, but he sent his associate, Jean-Luc Cuisinier, who's in the audience here. And Jean-Luc can give any background or any information you have regarding the evaluation done by Richard Faiton. With that, I think we can proceed to the agenda. And Rick, you can take over.
Item two on the agenda, approval of the legal action report. Has everyone had an opportunity to review that?
From the June 9th meeting?
Yes. Okay.
I move that we accept it.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Approved unanimously. Item three, Park Avenue Next Student Housing, 1031 North Park Avenue, elevation modifications. The client would like to present something to that effect.
Yeah, if I could lead off just with maybe a brief refresher on this project in terms of the context of all that CA does. I'm Dan Rankowski, Director of Design with CA. Student Living, and a number of familiar faces from a couple years back. We find it rewarding, I think, the process that we've gone through over the few years here. Rather than telling you what we've done everywhere and elsewhere, I'll focus on how this particular property, Next, is kind of key component for us within the big picture of what we do. Prime location, we like to be at Main and Main, we call it, but the intersection of campus life and the academics that go on there. So this is as prime of a location as we have nationwide. I'd say in terms of the architecture, we had a bit of a process here, and we maintained the same team that we had on phase one, and we were able to not only with what started as the rewriting of the main gate overlay, we had Shepley Bullfinch involved with that, but the culmination of phase one leading to phase two, different architectural language kind of going on with each, but they work in conjunction with each other. I think that I can honestly say when you look portfolio-wide for us that the Next building is the most creative, I will say, that we have ever had built. I think that you guys may recall going back to the end of 2012, the initial DRC meetings, I was more project specific with this job at that point. There are the natural evolutions, I think, that come throughout the project, and of course being design, there's a bit of a gray area. We wanted to reinitiate that conversation with you guys to make sure that you know, any of those evolutions that have occurred throughout the duration of the completion of the design and construction process was to your liking. So we always are interested in, you know, making the premium product that we can put out there. We want to be best in class from a development as well as property management standpoint everywhere we go. And we've been successful in doing that, and this is no exception to that. And I think the fact that this is probably the flagship building design that we have nationwide just lends itself to that. So the Shepley team is here, and they can reinforce some of the specific issues that have evolved from the original DRC.
Thank you.
So all Ryan and Natalie and myself, we're from Shepley Bullfinch. I'm the principal architect and been working on not only the...
Would you mind saying your full name, sir,
yes,
for the record?
I'm Ryan Gray with Shepley Bullfinch.
Joe Herzog, Shepley Bullfinch.
Natalie Shutbanks, Shepley Bullfinch.
And currently, Ryan and Natalie are leading the construction administration phase of the project, and so they've been here essentially almost weekly for the last year, and will be there until project closeout. I wanted to spend a few, maybe just 5 minutes, kind of rewinding and talking about how we got from how we started the design of the project to where we are today, just to give kind of a general overview, and then he'll take over and talk about the specifics. And there's the memo that we sent out probably a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, hopefully you had a chance to see it, and give you a preview of what has been identified as the kind of seven changes, or as we might call them, evolutions of the design project as we go through, and Ryan will touch on those, as well as the recent landscape design revisions that were submitted and approved. However, there are some slight changes from what the preliminary concept was. In aggregate, I think, you know, I can generally say that we believe that any changes that have occurred on the building have, in our opinion, in our viewpoint, have actually enhanced the project, and none of them were really an attempt to, you know, to address any budget concerns. They're more about, it is more about addressing many of the design constraints that are required from not only when we design towards the International Building Code, the International Energy Code, as well as Tucson ordinances. And so as any project naturally gets developed, you know, you're constantly incorporating those. But let me start back at the beginning a little bit and then quickly run through where we are. And so just to make sure you're clear that when we do refer to NEXT, that's the marketing title of the same project. It's, you know, from our standpoint, as we've done the submittal, it's been Park Avenue Housing. We're all very familiar with the location. Just want to give it just a quick overlay. So you have Tyndall, which was level, and now we have Park, which we're now calling NEXT, which is immediately to the east. When we first started the design of this project, we went through a series of meetings with folks on the DRC, and so there was not only formal meetings, but a series of informal meetings. We probably had anywhere from like 3 to 4 informal meetings to work with the committee to talk about, to discuss the preliminary planning concepts of this. And one of the things I think we did learn from doing the Tyndall project was that the participation of the DRC from the very beginning was critical to the success of the project and would help create, I think, a positive momentum. And what we discussed initially was just the basic building layout. And so what we talked about was, if you were to go in and do a massing on the site and just completely max out the footprint, you know, you'd start with essentially a cube that would, you know, in many ways potentially like kill the urban kind of feeling of the environment. We worked with DRC to talk about, to create a courtyard in this project. I think Bob Smith, particularly representing U of A, made it clear that the university did not did not want an elevated parking garage on street level that's immediately adjacent to park. And, you know, I think, you know, as many of you know, submerging parking is a significant premium in construction. And CA agreed to submerge the parking lot, which then freed up the entire streetscape for the project. And I think from design perspective, we were very pleased that decision was made, and we're very happy that Bob was making those recommendations. Because I think in the end, as being part of the authorship, working with the city and the community on the main gate district, that was essentially the heart and soul of what the main gate district overlay was about. It was about in an area where increased density was going to occur, how do you still make it a pedestrian-friendly environment that feels connected to the rest of the neighborhood around it and the active streetscape? And how does each project continue to encourage that kind of energy to happen, especially on a street as important as park, where you have this kind of like amazing kind of north-south connection that's starting to happen from Main Gate. And so that creating that courtyard experience was critical to the beginning of the process. And then we talked about starting to deflect the scale of the building as well. And so it was determined that while the main gate district overlay, the kind of massing map and elevation height that were allowable in this district, it would allow a few more stories, or a maximum of 13 stories. It was determined that the scale of that height would not be appropriate as it was starting to flow southward down Park Avenue. And starting to create more of a relationship to the Marshall Building, which is a really nice scale that's set up on the street. So how does it start to relate to that? And then through a series of ideas about how do we create shading and move amenity levels to a kind of a secondary roof level instead of being on the top, on the very top floor of the building. That was a conversation again that we had with DRC about not, you know, by bringing down some of the activity and not having it on the rooftop, potentially, like that was created on the Tyndall project. And then what we start to see is the idea of kind of breaking down the scale of the building even more. So not only having what's perceived as two buildings along the street front because the courtyard is receded back, but then how do you start to play with the elevation to create shifting planes, which start to break down the mass of the building even more. And so this was the result of preliminary meetings and working with the committee. And then, you know, we started to show like future massing, like I won't belabor this, it's potentially extraneous, but we started to show, you know, what the future of this site could be. So I think what was always important too in this process was that while we were working with Tyndall, that was always considered phase one of a two-phase project, and that in the end they were both intended to be working together as kind of a joint development. And I think what we were intending to do is create a relationship with the building. We didn't want to create work exactly with the same sort of palette and scale and kind of elevation treatments, that we wanted to have something that had its own character that would start to create a conversation versus basically large buildings that repeated the same thing over again. And so, you know, the preliminary discussions again, we're talking about how do we bring in like a series of materials here, which all exist in the existing building. This was a material palette that was developed and kind of agreed upon at the early onset of the design process, and you'll see if you go out to the site that every single one of these materials is included in the project and was utilized. And as I stated earlier, I think the goal as we were all jointly working on the main gate district overlay was to start to create environments like this on the street. And I think that was, in many ways, the design of the building started at the sidewalk. And I think there's a landscape palette that was started on the Tyndall project. But I think we've gone to the next level.
No pun intended.
Pardon the pun there. But I think we've taken it to another level too, which is ultimately enhanced by the amount of street activity that's going to be on there. Every single retail space is now leased out, correct?
Or three of the four.
Mm-hmm. And so, very soon, there's going to be people eating out there, there's going to be people walking down the street, they'll have be able to linger, say hi to friends and what have you. And I think but this is all within a context of an environment that has desert vegetation. And it's really trying to respond to kind of a Tucson personality that's less kind of formalized, and it's got some like texture to it, and it kind of feels authentic. And I think that was much of the goal that the landscape plans were trying to incorporate, as well as in a building environment that has the larger massing of the housing units above. How do you start to break down that scale and create a more pedestrian kind of zone on the sidewalk level? So the idea of like cantilevering brows along the street edge, it makes people feel like you're perceiving this kind of small micro environment that surrounds you, with the shade of the trees, the shade of the canopy, you got the seating adjacent to you. That's the experience of the person on the street. We can't wait to actually see this is the early on rendering, and we're very confident that it will feel almost like exactly like we're presenting here, with that kind of warmth and that kind of like vegetation that you're seeing there.
And the fence will be down.
And yes. There won't be a fence, that'll be exciting for everybody. For that part of the street to reopen once again. So we worked on elevations, and this was part of one of our early on presentations. This wasn't actually part of the DRC submittal, but it was a conversation that what we got out of these conversations was there was a fear of all the balconies, actually, that were along Park Avenue. I mean, that was one of the main takeaways from one of those early on design meetings, and that was an interesting conversation because, frankly, in different environments, from a design perspective, we're not necessarily proponents of doing extended balconies. In some environment, some locations on building elevations, it feels very appropriate. And so Ryan will talk to you about one of our responses to that conversation about where we really tactically put balconies on the elevations and specifically along the street edge on Park Avenue, where there was fear that you'd have people hanging out over that, and there was the people going to throw beer bottles and all that conversation. I think that's been mitigated. And so you'll see one of the eventual design changes was a response to that conversation. So this diagram, I think is kind of the heart of the conversation that we're having today, because I think the main gate design, the main gate design standards, we've listed a series of those, and I'll be happy. I don't know if we've, Jim, do you have a copy of this diagram here? Okay. Yeah. So what we did is we listed out basically all the design standards that are required of buildings that are going into the main gate district, and we demonstrated how this building complies with each one of those. And again, when you get to elevations, it's more about massing and articulation and percentage of transparency and in relation to opacity or walls. And it's about kind of the proportion of mass that faces the street when you need to push back on the building, what have you. And so that's really like the general, as you like move up on the street, that was sort of the general guidelines that were created here. And per the design standards, this building is compliant with those.
But that's not what you built.
That's the segue. So
I'm just verifying.
Yeah, this was like the part of that preliminary kind of submittal.
Right. That's what we've seen before and looked at.
So DRC had reviewed this, gave thumbs up, feeling
with all the requirements.
Exactly. So then, as the design continued, this is what was actually submitted for the DRC package, and Ryan can start to talk to you about kind of final evolution of that moving forward.
Yeah. So Natalie and I will run you through some of the updates and try to demonstrate the changes. So if you have any questions, just let us know. So during the evolution of the project, as we got into construction or through the permitting process through construction, there were some forces with code that we were responding to. And so this is the approved DRC.
So this did not come back to this committee, but went to the design professional?
No.
This, we approved this.
We approved this?
This.
Right.
So this was the...
I didn't get the subsequent one.
Okay.
And... And then this is the update. So this is what's currently constructed.
That's what I have right here.
Yes.
Exactly.
So like, this is basically the conversation for...
So we had some updates along the way. And so, starting with the first one, the iconic shade structure, the canopy, we wanted to integrate some of the shade that was originally on some of the schematic design. So we updated the layout. So instead of cantilevering across the pool, which was also a county health issue with covering of a pool, we decided to trim that back. And it's kind of nice once you're up there, it frames the U of A.
So that's a new rule, covering a pool?
It was a stipulation.
What it is, it's because this pool is considered semi-public, I think is the specific term, because you're not, you know, single-family residence or whatever, community kind of pool. And we're seeing this nationwide. The fear is, and you know, they also look at us being a student project too, they fear that somebody's going to scale this thing and try to, they try to alleviate the attraction to climb onto something to jump into the pool. And that's what we're seeing there. So there was a certain, you know, Arizona, I don't remember the dimension. Illinois, we just had it recently, and it's 10 feet in plan. You can't have an object within 10 feet of the pool edge in plan for that purpose.
So the problem is to avoid it becoming a jumping board.
Yes. And for us, we have no, you know, interest in baking in the safety hazard into the project either. So, I mean, even code aside, it's a management issue for us. Right. So. Yeah, it was an interesting element, I think, in a 3D diagram, but I think that what we ended up with is even better.
Yeah. One of the second revision was a material revision. We had metal panel along this top volume, and originally we had a thin blade of metal panel. We decided to pull it off the alley and pull it to the Park Avenue, the public and pedestrian side. We thought that was a very smart move to take. Multiple materials and try to bring it to the front face of the building instead of on the alley side. The third was the glass. When we were going through the code research, there's the IECC for the energy code. We were getting a response on our calculations of the energy consumption being too much with the amount of glazing. So we had to reduce that and find a good medium between insulated space and then glass.
So just to make sure it is clear on that, we energy model all of our buildings, and essentially that model takes into account all the area, like the different wall types that you have. So we have to enter in, like we have a wall here, which is a stucco wall. It's this amount of square footage. It faces this, it has this sort of orientation. It gets this amount of heat gain. You take the exact type of glazing system that we're utilizing here, which is a pretty high quality glazing system. It takes that into account. So that model starts to capture all the heat gain that's potential in this building. And what it was telling us is that by having this, with as much kind of glass square footage that we had, it was pushing us outside compliance with the IEC. So I want to make it clear, there's not less windows, there's just like there's same amount of windows in this project. It's just some of them are smaller because due to the fact that we had to reduce square footage and the overall composition of the building.
And understanding that, you also understand that by changing the fenestration, you affected our review process.
Correct.
One other thing just to be clear on, because I think that the previous slide might be misleading, and there was also the three-dimensional elevations that Joe showed earlier in the presentation as well. In that particular slide, it read as continuous ribbons of glass, and you know that never would have been the intent because you have, you know, bathrooms, bedrooms, closets, and so forth. There is a differentiation, and always has been, between kind of this strip of, you know, the head and the sill of every window is kind of in the same plane, and we've maintained that, and they still tend to dance around the elevation to create the same interest that I think was in the original diagram, but it's not. I think that some of those earlier ones were a little misleading in terms of the
what looked like was glass was actually intent was a wall, just with a different color.
Well, isn't it going from conceptual design to a more integrated type design?
Yeah,
you know, design development.
This gets refined.
I think in our case, we just need to know that that's going to occur up front so that we're not getting surprised at seeing a different building.
And I think we can get to the general, the kind of broader discussion towards the end, but I would say we agree with you. And we, you know, in retrospect, you know, to be parallel working with the city and having that kind of protocol in place, like we wholeheartedly would support. So, but I think we'll probably get to that discussion towards the end.
So one of the fourth updates was balconies, and I know during the initial review that there was a lot of concern having balconies on Park. So we took that extremely serious, and we took the original location, which was on Park, and we pulled it all the way off the corner and back towards the south side. And one of the other updates was to reduce the quantity of balconies and limit the gathering size of the balconies, and also keep it at two bedrooms and up. There was an update on the north elevation at level 12 and 13 with during construction with two of the slab edges, and so instead of trying to come up with a fix that high up, the safe decision was to do a Juliet balcony, where we don't have an extension, we just have the railing and then the slider.
The only problem I have with reducing the balconies on Park, and this is my personal opinion, is that it creates interest to have something that is not a flat wall.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you've removed some of that, and if you've made the windows smaller, do those windows open? They do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they
so
do.
There's still some, because I think it's not as interesting a looking building, personally. You know, it's not completely done yet either without those balconies. And I was not one of those people protesting them. I understood that. I know you all had said you had already downsized them at some point during that final meeting,
mm-hmm.
Just out of learning over time that having them not be more than five people at a time, you could figure out who had thrown the object off the balcony. So my understanding from some sort of missive that I received from somewhere is that there were additional discussions with the U of A regarding these balconies on Park.
I think that was related to
since they're not here, I can't ask them that.
No, it came up at our design review meeting.
I know. Bob particularly like mentioned it in two meetings that he just reiterated his concern about balconies.
Yeah. And my recollection is the same that
he did, but Chris Gans seemed concerned as well.
Right, talking about UA, it was Bob, you know, that brought that up in my recollection, not Jan Cibelli, but Bob brought it up, and also, you know, it was an early on discussion too for level because of the experiences that occurred at ASU, those real life experiences, and you know, all the police reports, everything,
mm-hmm.
which was researched. So that's how it developed to that point.
But I
agree with Jane. Obviously, the balconies enhance the architecture and the relief of the building. But
not being able to give you that input and to have you make a correction in some way, shape, or form is challenging.
Yeah.
So one of the other material revisions was in the original approved, this wall that wraps around the south, west, and north side was board form concrete, and that was due to durability. So what we ended up doing was just doing a 4 foot high concrete wall for durability and then adding another material. So that way we're increasing the amount of materials on the building and creating some interest. So we went with a cement board panel with a couple different colors, and it's playful. And I think it really adds a nice element to the building.
I would agree with that.
So,
yeah,
me too.
Then one of the last revisions before we get into landscape was the glazing that existed on one of these retail units. We had some talk about the parking that was directly adjacent with glass being there and then occupants inside that space. So what we did was we took that amount of glass and we reintroduced it back into the courtyard, more on the public face in the pedestrian area, so the landscaping now comes through and it creates that transition. Instead of having more glazing on the south end, we pushed it to the interior of the courtyard.
Mm-hmm.
Landscaping, So the revision on the landscaping was due to the functionality of the retail tenants. As we started to divide the space into four units, the locations of the doors and egress changed, and just slight modifications on the patio. So the design for the landscape, this was the original design intent.
Excuse me, that's actually item four.
Okay.
So we can keep it open.
We could do item three and four, at least for the discussion.
Yeah, we could kind of do them together.
Yeah, I think it's all, honestly, I think it's sort of some elevation changes.
It was building changes that.
Okay,
yeah.
Proceed.
Okay, thank you. So this was the original design intent of the landscape. This was the original approval through DRC. And then this is the update. So
it's hard to see the changes, obviously, but so Ryan, walk them through kind of like where
right.
specifically some of those were.
So we had some updates to the locations of the entries here on the south and north towers, and then also on the courtyard for those two suites. So the update, just the location on the planters or the paving pattern adjusted. And since we had more information on how we were treating the interior of the space, we decided to make it integral in an interior-exterior space. So we have a really nice cohesion throughout that space. So that was really the main revision of the landscape. All the direction, there wasn't anything substantial that we were changing. We just wanted to make it known that we did have changes on the retail tenants, and that directly affected just how things were being laid out.
One thing I'd like to add is our landscape architect was unable to be with us today, but he did write a letter noting the changes between the original and the revised. And so some of the changes I feel like were really good for the project. Some of them were as mundane as just moving irrigation valves so that they would feed these planters that are on the right of way, and to keep things alive and vibrant. And then as well as these plant materials, we had a few plant material changes because the UOD asked, they wanted us to limit the height of the landscape so people could see and cross safely. They asked us to push the planters a little bit closer to the street so people weren't standing between the planter on a curb, endangering themselves, making it another traffic pedestrian walkway. And then just, keeping low water use and more pedestrian friendly landscape materials, low spines, that type of thing. And then the last thing is it appeared that there was a little discrepancy between the pavers, and he revised to meet that paver requirement that the city had.
And again, consistent with what I said earlier, I think this is the most elaborate, fantastic landscape plan we've ever had as well, and I think that it all needs to kind of go together. What I'm hearing and what I know, this is not a scope change at all. It's just kind of a reshuffling of the elements that were in there, which to me is almost the intent of how you manage a DRC approval throughout the design development process, as you suggested earlier. So one thing, just to make sure that we're all clear with what's going on the screen, regardless of how this differs from what there was, Ryan, could you maybe just walk us through what occurs between, because I see all these shaded areas and lines,
mm-hmm.
maybe describe from curb to face of retail, kind of what we get in that width. I think that
position
would be
of it.
Valuable to understand.
So from the street side, you have planters integrated, which reduces jaywalking. And then you have the requirement for the shade with the trees.
Which is planted in between of those.
Yep, in between
right.
those.
So it appears we're 20, 25 feet on center with those trees continuous across the front of the site.
We do have slab, nice mesquite wood slabs that sit on the on the planter. And then you have the right-of-way with the paving pattern. And then you have the retail tenant patio spaces through here. And then as you get into the project, you have trees marching down with planters and benches down the center. And then you have adjacent bike parking. And then you enter into the lobby, which is here over.
Could you have there's one issue here. As you may be aware, we created this interim streetscape policy as we are creating a streetscape design manual. And you've made a little variation on that on the benches. Because what we put in the interim policy, and it's almost like a gentleman's agreement. There's nothing adopted by the mayor and council on it. But one of the issues we raised was having black furniture and thus having black benches. So you did a little bit of a hybrid on that. Could you talk about that a little bit, how that integrates with the project?
Do you want to go to the slide?
Or if I jump too far ahead.
No. Well, didn't you originally have wood benches?
Yes, they've always been in.
I'm just going to make a comment on this interim policy. I was not able to attend those meetings, but I sent my friend Tom with me. But he and I disagree about a couple of things. And one, I think urban spaces need to be beautiful and interesting. I think they shouldn't all look alike. I don't think I want a suburban shopping center feel. I want continuity and good taste. So I would say that given they had already presented those benches, I would rather have benches.
Yeah, they're actually part of the planner,
and
right?
They're part of the
really
planner.
Really not a bench by itself.
Right. I would rather have that than have
right.
It have to be black. And I will say not all black is equal. Some of it is very hot in the summertime. That I think, and then saying it has to look a certain way, I just feel like, yes, there has to be this something that defines our area as being this, but maybe not so strict that we can't deviate somewhat. Even if there were like black, maybe there's a black frame within the wood or something. I don't know. That's just my opinion.
I think that's fabulous what you're saying. And I think that allows for more creativity. I think that's what they're doing here. They have a black element that unites it, but they also have something unique for this project.
And our real intent was to have something that was not all the same, but to have a color so that when you knew that you were in the main gate district. And I'll take an extreme case. One of the highest rents, obviously, in the United States is Madison Avenue. And Madison Avenue has a consistent tree pattern, and they have a consistent, you don't want to call it a fence, I don't know what the technical name is, but it's about this high, and they're like black ovals that go around the planter that the tree's in, right? So you can be down and be up 20 streets. The architecture's all different, it's all different eras, everything's different except for that. And so you know you're on Madison Avenue, and the other neighborhoods too, like in LA and so on. So it's just something consistent, but not to stop creativity.
And that's what you and I talked about.
Exactly.
And Jan too, I think.
Yeah, Jan too.
But she's not here to defend.
Right. So it gives an identity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. That was the idea, is to have something that was somewhat common. Could be the color, and could be like these planters are black, and then have the wood that you have.
I'm pulling up a slide.
Now I was going to pull up a slide of an example of what we're actually talking about. But we do have the kind of black steel going on there. It's just this is kind
of,
I would perceive it as like an accent piece.
Yeah. Some places are done with the streetlight. Some places are done with, whatever.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting.
That was the only thing.
Obviously, a tremendous amount of development activity going on now.
Right.
We'd like to think that that's going to, continue to maybe a lesser degree. But if there is, some element like that that could kind of be a continuing thread throughout that. That's good, but probably good because there's so much thought.
So
they kind of went into this one.
Right.
I think you guys would agree too. That,
sorry for the crude.
Sorry.
These are the actual mesquite slabs that have been selected. That will be atop black metal steel planters.
Right.
This is the original detail that was in both the original plan and the revised landscape plan. So,
and that, as I mentioned, that really originated with the West University neighborhood in about 1996, 1995.
Oh, the black street furniture.
Yeah, I don't even know. Yeah, I came from Wuzab about 15, 16 years ago. So, but that was the only thought. But I don't have any objection to, the wood, and Jim and I spoke about it, the wood being on the black planters, right?
Really, regional.
The only thing we talk about is the upkeep of it.
Because these look
so
like
it looks, doesn't look bad in
planners. I mean, I think that's what was presented from day one.
Exactly. Right.
That's good that we have that on the record. It's
right.
Clear.
Yeah, makes it clear.
Understands it.
So I think to wrap up the presentation, I mean, we've got some progress photos that you're seeing here, just kind of getting back to like the reality of this thing is almost done. And how, you know, this is one of our original renderings here, how closely it's really, you know, kind of feeling towards that. But again, you know, I think in the end, while the DRC and the main gate design guidelines are focused like holistically in the buildings, I think as we all like talked about and discussed extensively at the beginning, it's about this, it's about creating buildings that respond to the street and people. And you know, I think as you know, you're seeing some of this happen right now. We can't wait for this environment to be opened up. The scale's feeling awesome. We're warming up the planters as we speak right now. You're starting to get a sense of the space. You can imagine with all the, you know, we've got areas with like 14, 15 foot high glass that's opening, but it'll be completely transparent to the park. So people, you're gonna see people dining and the glowing lights at night. I mean, the canopies that we're showing.
So that one right here, if you look at, I mean, this starts to talk about scale right here. This is, I mean, there's gonna be planters here. So you're gonna put the trees hanging over and this, it just really start. I did not realize, you always look at things in plan, you don't realize just how, you know, small. When you walk and you stand in here, it's just an amazing scale that's starting to happen with these.
Hotel's not gonna change.
So similar to what the treatment was at that level where we, you know, did that kind of street promenade piece that kind of create framed in that scale. I think the same thing's going to happen here with the trees and canopies that we're seeing. So, I think we'll just end it right there. I don't know how much more time we want to spend on this. I definitely want to open up the conversation and any general conversation.
Rick and members, we have Jean-Luc here, and he's here to, I don't know if you have any comments that you want to make specifically, Jean-Luc, about Faye's evaluation of this, to put them on the record.
So yeah, basically Faye could not make it today, so I work at the architecture company with Faye, and he asked me to actually come here today. So we actually talked about the review that he did and the process that he went through. And really, ultimately, he just looked at the buildings thinking then the elevation now is actually a better elevation than the original one. And so so his recommendation was to actually accept the elevation the way they are now. Because I mean, we talked about pretty much the same thing what you guys did today. And if it was about the code or the balcony or the glass, the amount of glass, that the discussion came about the same as what we have today. So I think Faye sent you a letter already, but that was a recommendation.
To follow that up, I feel that the changes are very responsible and they address the design. So from an architectural point of view, I feel like it's not what you've changed isn't a problem. Is there any other changes that were made subsequent to the letter that you would need to present are pretty much following this plan?
We've been paying attention at a pretty heightened level.
trying
to scrutinize like
definitely
what's happening. So we've got multiple levels of people watching this right now to make sure that we want to make sure there's no ambiguities going through with this. And I think there's been a pretty good working relationship from day one. I hope you feel from the design team, especially from the developer team or client, that it's been a pretty transparent process. I think we've identified 7 areas where, frankly, I think moving forward, we need to be working better together with the city on that. And so I think in retrospect, we helped author the main gate district. We wanted to be extremely successful. We wanted to be a showcase project, and all of us made a commitment to that. I think this has identified maybe the document needs to maybe evolve a little bit to talk a bit of more of the parallel design process, which we would be like huge advocates of, you know, because again, we don't want to be coming back to meetings like this and towards the end having ambiguities. We just want buy-in as we go and make sure everybody's happy with what's happening in the project. So, you know, I think that, you know, maybe it's not appropriate for this meeting, but you know, we could have a subsequent meeting where we could identify some areas where the process maybe could use some improvements. And
I think we could let them look at what we're doing, right?
Yeah, we've created a process. Did we send that to you?
You gave me an outline of it in email. I'm not sure if I have like the formalized process.
Okay, this is, I'm sorry, I thought I sent that to you.
I have not seen it.
Rick? I'd like to hear if Jim has any comments relative to, you know, what's this particular subject.
No, it sounds good to me. Proceed.
Anybody else?
I make a motion that we accept both the landscape changes and also the exterior design changes.
I second that motion. And I think you did a great job. All in favor?
Aye. And I'd like to put on record that I also agree with Matt Williams' letter, you know, because this is all, as Joe pointed out, it's all the, you know, first time stuff for us. Yeah. But I'd like to concur with Matt Williams' letter that the changes were substantial enough that they should come back to our committee.
Absolutely.
As Joe just mentioned, it's at the end of the game, not at the beginning or during. But, you know, any changes like that always come back to the committee, and I think Matt was correct in asking for the meeting.
Thank you for bringing that up. That's a good point. Anybody in the audience that would like to speak? All right, it looks like...
Here we left.
Oh, I'm sorry. That guy?
That's probably good.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We appreciate
your
time.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, meeting ends at 2:54.
Wow.